Hey, hey, hey.
Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me, Daryl is back.
Hello.
All right. Eric is here.
Hello.
Hanako is here.
Hi.
And Stephanie.
Hello.
And I want to say it's this mostly harmless cutaway, but this is the wrong podcast for that. And I never say that anyway, so I don't know what's happening. But you know, that's Eric's podcast. That's Eric's podcast where him, I, Carl, and all other people talk about Doctor Who. So if you want to listen about Doctor Who, you can go to Mostly Harmless Cutaway. But for now, this is Sci-Fi Party Line, and today we are talking about The Walking Dead!
Yeah!
Woo! Finally!
Are we talking about season 5 or
what? I have no idea because guess what? Still haven't watched it.
Oh my god, you know what?
What?
Oh my god.
You are fired.
What?
You are so fired.
I haven't watched since Glenn died, Daryl.
You are so fired.
Daryl hung up. Legit hung up.
What are you even doing here?
So the reason why I was excited about that, let's try to get Daryl back. But the reason why I was excited to talk about The Walking Dead is because we did this whole tirade. You, Hanako, you, Eric, talked about you. Daryl, were you really upset with me?
Yeah, that made me so mad. I can't do it.
She straight up left. Okay. Anyway.
She's fired.
Yeah. Why are you trying to
you
fire
guys
everybody?
What have
you
to
know
deal
what?
With.
You need to
you
simmer
see what
down.
We have to deal with.
You need to simmer you, down. How to go.
You had one thing to do. One thing.
Watch The Expanse. What? Okay, anyway. Anyway. So Hanako and Eric, the last time we talked about The Walking Dead, did this really good. They were really good. I almost was sold. I almost watched The Walking Dead. And they did a really good job of saying why I should watch it, why it was good, which things were changing, what things, you know, that interested me in the show that I should be enthusiastic about and just come back into the fold. And Stephanie was on this podcast too. And mm-hmm. We both, by the end, the conclusion of that episode, were really considering watching The Walking Dead again. Now, Stephanie was the one who took initiative. Kat was a bum and did not. Yeah. So my excitement comes from Stephanie really picking it back up. And so what's going to happen today is through the lens of Eric and Hanako and Stephanie with a little sprinkling of Daryl in there since he wants to hang up on folks. I want to see if it's still like, I know I'd have a whole bunch to catch up on, but like, is Negan dead yet? Have we moved on? Are we still there? Why should I watch this thing after Glenn died? Glenn is my man. And I'm still, it's been what? 3 years since he's died, and I still, I'm sorry.
3 years?
It feels like
what is even
3 years?
You know, it just really, it says something about you guys that y'all can just, somebody will die, and y'all just kick the corpse over, and just be willing to go again. So if I just kick the bucket tomorrow.
Well,
it took me a while.
I experienced Glenn probably like Daryl back in, I think it was 2012 when he went away. So, I mean, it's been 5 years. So,
yeah, it means nothing. Hey, listen, you got to move on. The living got to live.
But TV has different rules, for sure.
My whole thing is I wanted to see how the group was going to come back from that.
Right.
And Kat, I mean, you had 6 months. Let me tell you how late you are, okay? They've already started filming season 8.
What season is it?
7 right now.
We're talking about season 7. They've already started on season 8. Xander Berkeley has been Instagramming today from the set. So, yeah, you're a bit behind. I need you to do better, dude.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. 6 months.
Well, this is really about Stephanie, so don't make this about me.
Is it, though? Because I'm caught up. So.
Right, and so what inspired you, Stephanie? Was it peer pressure? Was it like did they sincerely sell you on it? How did you get back into walking? Because I feel like the last time we talked about it, you were with me, you were on the same page.
I was.
Yeah,
I was.
So how did that happen?
Well, I mean, we've been podcasting about The Walking Dead since the beginning, and it has been legitimately one of my favorite shows since then. You know how fanatical I have been about the show. Really, and like even through the boring seasons that nobody else liked, I was still the cheerleader of The Walking Dead. When Glenn died, oh man, I was like you, Kat, I needed a break. And then also, I just got tired of yet another asshole coming and ruining things right when they were trying to make a life for themselves, you know? So I was like, is this going to be more of the same? Am I going to lose people that I don't care about? Well, that was boring for a while. And then suddenly I lost somebody that I cared about. And I was like, well, I'm done. I was just completely done. And I think I gave it a chance, like the episode after Glenn died, and they followed it up with like Ezekiel's character, which I was not a fan. I was basically Carol in that whole episode, where I was like, nope, don't trust you, would rather live on my own. But Hanako and Eric kind of spoke to me. I think it's just because some of the characters that haven't been there from the beginning but have kind of grown on me, you know, took up more of a role. And, you know, when Rick is in charge, that's one thing. They make stupid decisions. They risk, like, all of the strong people for the life of some stupid person and decide to go on their own. But Rick wasn't apparently in charge this season. So that intrigued me. Mm-hmm. So then more other characters got to step up. And no one was ever in agreement. Some people could see what Rick was doing, you know, as, well, he's broken and he's just taking his time. Other people were like, nope, I'm not giving up. I'm not backing down from who I am. And that was exciting to see after Eric and Hanako talked about it. I even, after a while, was okay with Ezekiel, especially at the finale.
Wow.
Let's be honest, it wasn't Ezekiel, it was Sheba.
It was
Sheba.
See, I like my man Ezekiel, though.
He's cool, but not
he brought it. I thought he, well, it's a tiger, you can't outdo a tiger. I mean, it's not much you can do with that. But
wait, what, there's a tiger?
He has a tiger. He has a tiger.
I'm here for the person who really doesn't want to watch. And, you know, just throwing out the questions from a friend. What'd you say?
There's some really good moments. I hate watched it for the first 3 episodes after Glenn died, because I was just no longer at all excited about it. But I respect what Hanako and Eric had to say. And so I was like, fine, I will wait. I'll make this work. And then, you know, they introduced more and more different groups of people who've been kind of subsisting. And it started, you know, the theme of the season started to come to light, which was really building more on what Rick's plans for Alexandria were, which was like, at some point you have to stop looking out just for yourself and, you know,
build a community.
Community, right. So then you start to see, oh, well, there are these other communities that who have made it and who are living, and wouldn't they be much stronger together? Because obviously there's this person that needs to go. Negan needs to go. And to be honest, I like his bad guy way better than the governor, because they actually worshipped him. Like, they full on.
They're so different.
Yeah, they're totally different. Yeah.
Yeah, but so I got tired of seeing the bad guy trying to take over the town or trying to take over the group, and the group, you know, losing some people that you don't really care about, and, you know, I don't know, I just got tired of it. But this season delivered, especially delivered at the end. And there
the
were
the second season was much stronger than the first part of the season. The second part of the season was much better.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, I'm glad I stuck around. But I would not have stuck around if I didn't have Eric and Hanukkah going, but you need to stick around. It's a
favorite. Weird. I don't even feel like that was my position, but okay.
I don't think it was either. I think it was Hanukkah.
I don't think your position Hanukkah. Was stop watching either.
No. But I wasn't like a cheerleader or anything.
Oh my gosh, when are you ever anything other than right now, or like middle of the road, Eric? Like, you kind of said that it was sort of okay. I took that as a sign. Love
I'm
you.
Only exactly where I should be.
Oh Lord, here we go. Here we go.
Okay, so somebody give me something. Like, so what happened in the season finale? We don't want to do a full Hanukkah recap, because I know Hanukkah will sit here and tell me the whole thing. We don't have to do that today unless y'all really want to. But so who died? Who died?
Well, see, the problem with doing it that way, there's so much stuff that happened
in between. The people who love this show, they know already. They don't need the recap. Yeah. I don't need the recap because I don't care. I'll watch it.
Well, to be honest, there was not a really major, which I didn't think they were going to have the guts to do, to kill anybody, like, really popular.
Well,
like,
really?
I can tell you highlights.
So Sasha's not popular?
So Sasha did, she died.
They never wrote Sasha.
Oh, but she died
Sasha
so well.
But they, in a glorious way.
Such a good way.
But they never, but she died. My issue with Sasha is, like, I know she got another show coming, and the way that they had her die was so unnecessary. That,
whoa,
it, like,
great.
Unlike, no, dumb, Tyree, dumb decisions.
Tyree?
It was pretty.
Well, okay. I think I agree with Daryl in the sense that it was weird. It was contrived and circumstantial from when they set it up. I think it was the episode before the finale. Mm-hmm. There's no reason any of that would have happened unless you're trying to get to the payoff.
I liked the episode where Rosita and Sasha struck out and did their own thing. Like,
well,
I
let me say why I didn't like it. Let me say why I didn't. Why I thought it was just a mess when they had. When you got to the second half, Rick had probably just about given up. He was like, I'm going to try to live as long as I can, take care of my kids, and hopefully be with
Michonne.
Now I can't think of her name. Michonne.
Michonne.
And that would be it. Like, try to survive as long as we can and just deal with the rules, right? And Michonne, his partner, had kind of said to him, that ain't the man that I want to deal with. Like, that's not, I can't live like that. And she kind of moved him to get back up as Rick again, because he kind of felt like it was his fault, right? He stood up and people died and he just couldn't get past it. And then there was a change in the way people were. Like, Carol had kind of went off to the side. She didn't know about any of this stuff, really. And she went off to the side because she felt like if she kept going the route she was going to go, she was going to be something that wasn't human, something that she didn't even want to live with anymore. And then Morgan had his issues where he wanted to take care of Carol in one way, and in another way he felt kind of the same way, where he wanted to kind of not become this thing, this killer that he could be, that he was before, right? When Rick decided, when he got the spark, and then they kind of said that we can do this, I think that we can do this and take this dude down, and started to get the group back together. Rosita, she had wanted him to build this. She wanted the guy that lied about making about Washington back in when they first met him. He was with Rosita and Eugene, right? First, they found a bullet. She found a bullet, and her big thing was, Eugene, make me this bullet because this is what I'm going to use to kill Negan, right? She gets the chance and she misses killing him and shoots the bat, right? Because of that, another character in the community was killed. Only because of her. Because they said, for what you did, somebody got to be punished, right? So instead of taking that and being like, making these rash decisions has got someone killed, her thing was, I got to get vengeance on him more. I got to get revenge on him for what? Yeah, but
how is that different from every other character on the show, though? Like, every person because it has wasn't, done that.
I know, but it wasn't focused because the whole thing is, if you go after Negan before they're ready, before the, because you knew that Rick was formulating his plan, that the group was formulating his plan, convinced. Right?
I was not convinced that Rick was formulating a plan until very late in the season. Like, super late in the season, he finally came around. Like, he and Michonne, when they had that moment where she's like, oh no, we can fight. And he's like, okay, yeah, we can fight.
Yeah, but even with Gabriel, what's his name?
Which one? The priest. Yeah.
Yeah, Gabriel. Even when he gave her the talk after she had gotten that woman killed, okay? Mm-hmm. And he was like, the planet, he really got to, like, he was the one that kept counsel with Rick a lot. Like, he became the spiritual, the magical Negro in the show for a minute. Like, he was the one that, like, said the right things to Rick when he needed to hear it. And he was the one that counseled people when their spirits were low, right? And then he had talked to her about it, and it seemed like she kind of got it. Maybe a little bit. Like, she kind of got that they have to build this thing. Like, if you attack Negan before they're ready, they don't have the forces to beat this dude. Two people, I don't care how good they are in fighting, are not going to take down Negan. And when you don't take down Negan, everybody else gets punished for it if you're not ready, right? I mean, you know this. You got this woman killed, and you know there are women and children here. Okay, that are not going to fight this war because they can't. They don't have the capability of it. If you don't kill this dude, everybody gets wiped out because they're going to get revenge, right? Why would you go after Negan when you know that that's the consequence for this? Like, there's no way. You don't have an end to get in to get this guy. There's no end. This is a group of people with weapons. And he have people that jump in front of bullets for this dude. How do you think that just you two are going to go in there and get this dude?
Well, they do that kind of stuff all the time with, you know, special ops teams, especially people who are well guarded and well surrounded. It's usually something that's a one person or two person mission.
Wait, are we talking about the real world or in The Walking Dead?
In the real world.
Oh, yeah, I understand the real world, but this is totally not real world.
No.
I actually agree with everything Daryl just said right now. I basically felt exactly the same way based on what he just laid out.
But I mean, can absolutely understand why one or two people would think, I need to kill... First of all, they were motivated to do it, right? They saw that their leader was a completely broken man, so he wasn't going to do it. But how do you discount
the part that Daryl just said where she is the same person who literally just screwed up and just
got another person killed?
And then she's
maybe she felt like she needed to. Maybe she felt like righting the wrong was to kill Negan. That's what I.
But no, how is the righting of the wrong to kill? Because she has been killing him is right. Part of the, right.
But to do it like this is going to probably get more innocent people killed. Like killing him sloppily, or when you just run into it without.
I get that. No, I get the frustration there, but that is not out of character for anybody in that group. Every single person has done stupid things like that.
Right, but she also trained with other military dudes, because she said that in part of her episodes. She was talking about how she would hook up with other guys who had training in things. Like, and she would learn from each person that she would be around for a while, right? So mm-hmm. She knew how to do explosives. She knew how to shoot. She knew how to... There's strategy to it. Like, for her to throw all of that... Like, if it's just a random dude, like Carl, I expect him to think he could do that.
There have been other people in the show who have single-handedly saved everyone, like Carol from the cannibal.
Yeah, but they've never fought this. They've never fought a community like this. Even when they went after... dealt with the...
But how do they know that? I mean, the governor had zombie gladiator fights. I mean, they all had, like, They've gone up against
other character or organization thus far in the show has ever had Rick and Company in check the way these people did.
I will grant you that,
but you do desperate things when you're desperate.
But it's like this is tripling down on desperation and screwing the pooch.
I get you because they already
screwed up. Like, you going after the satellite facility, and that led to bad things. You tried to shoot him when he came to Alexandria, led to bad things. You're just going down the wrong road.
Did that help him? No.
No one says you should give up. I didn't give up.
If Rick had straight up said, "We're not going out, we're not going to do it." Like, if Rick and the preacher and all of them said, "We're not going to do this," they were planning this. This was going to happen. I can't go with that excuse. The way they laid it out on the show, I can't go with that excuse. And that's showing me that I thought those two characters. Yeah, but those two characters were smarter than that until they got to this part. It almost felt like they were smarter in their actions up until they needed for them to do something very dumb to put Sasha into a place where she would do what she did. It looked cool when they got to the end because she came out and did the whole thing. But
Sasha, I don't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
To me, I learned a lot about Sasha's character this season. But building on last season, when she wanted to die all the time, Abraham's the one who saved her, right? So,
yeah, pretty much.
She wants to die after Bob dies, and her brother. And so she's sitting there basically a living zombie, walking around, not really caring about anything, trying to die, actually going out and seeking zombies that would maybe kill her. And then she becomes this kind of warrior person that's like on a lone mission. But then as her, this season, I felt like her character really evolved into somebody who had a bigger picture in mind. And I think that, well, one, she had a bunch of unresolved things that she needed to talk about with Rosita because of the Abraham thing. And I thought it was really touching when she said, yeah, I was actually really happy with him. Because that kind of sealed the deal for her motivations for me. For her motivations of what she decided to do. She could sacrifice herself for the good of the many. Which is what I feel that the entire theme of this season has been. Would you sacrifice yourself for the good of the many? She set the example for that.
But this is where you completely lose me, because like with everything you just said, Stephanie, I'm like agree. Mm-hmm. But then when you get to the conclusion of sacrificing yourself in the way she did, that to me does not match up with what you just laid out. Like, that is like you're going right and then at the very last second you turn left.
But like, she knew she would get captured. So that I thought she actually was going to die. Like, I thought she was
okay, if we assume that she knew she was going to get captured, what's the ultimate? She knew she wasn't going to come out of it. I agree with that.
I agree with that.
What, though, is the point, is my point.
She got close enough to Negan and to get to the point where she could be like, well, I'll still be somebody who can get you and make you vulnerable. I'll be a zombie.
I got to stop there, though. There is no way that she would ever know that Negan would just not take a gun out and just kill her. That was something out of character.
Actually,
and the way she reacted.
I have to disagree with that.
I'm going to tell you why.
Because why? Carl rode in on one of Negan's trucks and opened fire and killed some of Negan's guys. And Negan respected him for that. So Sasha at least knew that much about him.
No, I agree.
No, that's bull. That's bull.
No. Let me finish. She knew enough to know that if she goes in guns blazing and is captured, okay, yes, she may eventually die. But she's thinking she would be close enough to at least do some kind of damage. That was what she wanted to go in and do. She threw Negan off guard, but from that point on.
Okay, but I got one question for you. I got
Daryl. At this point, she knows Negan is going to be watching her like a hawk. So when she realizes she's out of all other options as far as killing herself, and Eugene gives her the pill, she uses that opportunity. She's like, okay, this is something he will never see coming. Negan didn't sit her up in that coffin expecting her to be dead when he opened it up. He expected to take her back to Alexandria and use her and torture her to get either the Alexandrians to surrender or he was going to kill her. Negan himself said it. He respected her. He respected what she came in there to do. And he respected the mindset that she had. So she already had a way in there. He was not necessarily trusting of her, but when she went, he was like, okay, he's thinking she's on the same mindset with him. Okay, she can understand what I'm doing.
I have many issues.
I got problems with that.
He was not.
But let me go though. Let me go.
That happened once they closed.
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, but that's TV land world. To expect an enemy to do that. I'm sorry.
Isn't that what we're talking about?
No.
But it's just plot hole world. Like, it's not... There's no way you could tell... He did that with Carl.
Let me ask you a question.
Well, hold up. But there's different reasons that he let Carl...
Because I'm telling you, as a woman, that was her thought process. There was no, oh, it was a stupid decision. No, women, when we plan shit out like that, we are very methodical.
Yeah, but I'm coming at you. I get what you're saying, but I'm thinking of her as a person too, as a human being, as a smart human being. I'm coming at it that way.
What part of
there is no
was not smart?
All of it getting caught.
No.
That's not what I'm saying.
No, once she got there. And was already in the situation of being in the cell and then was able to talk to Eugene, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, I agree. She could methodically come up with a plan from that point. But
before that.
Yes, before that. Before she enters the compound, I don't know how you could possibly think in the real world that you're ever going to get into that good a position. Because, yes, there's maybe a possibility she thought she might survive, you know, initially getting in. But
no,
I don't know why you
in.
Would...
She went in with the expectation.
No, she didn't.
There have been several examples.
What I'm saying is, even if you think...
She said it.
She said what?
She said, this is a one-way trip for both of us. I don't expect to come out of this alive.
Okay, that doesn't have anything to do with what I'm talking about. That's not what we're talking about.
We agree with you. I don't disagree with that.
But what I'm saying is, even if she thinks she survives the initial whatever, and you know she gets to do something else, I don't know why she or anyone would ever expect that you would have such an opportunity present itself that once alive, still and in captivity, that you would just be delivered this golden opportunity.
She didn't know that. But the thing about her. Is that she saw an opportunity and went for it.
And then,
let me throw in that even she said out of her own mouth, even though she was acting like she was scared so that she could get him to do what she wanted Negan to do, she said when she was trying to get, not Negan, but she was trying to get Eugene to give her something to use on Negan, she said, I don't want to be used as a weapon, because she even laid it out, and it makes sense. You would, if you got captured, if you went out there and did what you did, you are not only putting the group in danger for retaliation, but you're also putting them in a position where he probably will use you as a hostage to get you to get to the group. Like, you know how he likes to play. But hold up.
But you know how he likes to play psychological games.
She was not planning to get caught. Her whole mindset going in there was, I'm going to shoot as many people as I can until they kill me. She didn't expect them to decide to capture her.
I'm not arguing with you on that. I agree with you.
But everything you're saying is contradictory to you saying that you agree.
It's not, because what I'm saying is for you to go in. If I know I could take, I'm angry. They kill somebody that I love, right? We're fighting an army. We're fighting. We know that it's an army. Can we agree on that? That they knew that they were heavy numbers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they knew that they didn't have the numbers. So what else can you do?
Right.
You have to do a one to two person team to try and go in there.
But I have to ask you, what does me going in and killing maybe 30 of them? There's another 100 and something out there, right?
That takes away some of their numbers. That's the point.
I think they that's win the nuts. Game.
That is nuts.
That's nuts. I agree. That's nuts. And the other thing I was going to say 15 what? Minutes ago. And the other thing I was going to say, I agree with that. And the other thing I was going to say 15 minutes ago before they we went deep down this. People. Before we went deep down this hole, too, I was already also thinking, like, even if she was amazingly successful and came in there and actually killed Negan himself, I still don't know how that helps your community back home, Alexandria, because I still think the people who are surviving after your death are still in a world of hurt, even if you successfully get in the compound and kill Negan.
Because what do they show? Like, I'm one man, but then everyone is, like, I have other people that come after me.
Yeah, so that's why I was with Daryl from the beginning, which the whole idea seems crazy from the very start, from the very moment you take a step.
They had to use different tactics. They had to exploit Negan's weaknesses, which, come on, okay, you can argue that Sasha made stupid choices and that Rosita made stupid choices, but Negan made stupid choices. He kept Rick alive.
Well, but I understand what you're saying.
He kept all the people alive.
I understand about, like making it up as you go, but this is like me saying I'm going to, like, walk into Bank of America and somehow become CEO, but I don't have a real plan. I'm just going to improvise
here's the thing.
My feet, and then I'm going to just, like, things are just going to work.
They were dead because anyway. Part of his, if they did nothing, they were dead anyway, so they decided.
But part of that, they but part made a of the decision. I get it. It was a desperate decision. Okay. It was so dumb. But I get that, like, part of him keeping going after Rick and keeping Carl alive was Carl was his son. He knew Carl was his son, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and?
So his whole thing is psychological warfare. Carl became a hostage. He brought him back and he messed with him. Like, he held, like, part of him keeping Carl alive was also because he was to Nick. He was a blood relative of Nick.
If he killed these people at the start, then he would still have the power and we wouldn't have a season, essentially.
Well, yeah, we'd have a show. But
Negan has these weaknesses, and each one of these people, as they one-on-one went up against him, they found out. The only person who didn't survive that was what's-his-face, the son from Alexandria. Wait. Like, he is the one who didn't survive that going to Negan thing and trying to be an individual
Negan
does not respect that. That's why even with Rick, with Carl, with Sasha, that's why he didn't kill them, because they showed, okay, yeah, they might be afraid of me, but they're still Daryl.
Let me then just why they why kill he kept then,
them alive. Because even
yeah, but he also killed Abraham.
But again, that goes back to what we talked about at the season finale last season. I told y'all he killed Abraham because even though all of them are, you know, submissive or whatever, when he walked around even threatening all of them, Abraham was the only one to buck up. So he eliminated the biggest threat. Okay, you take the most powerful person on the team, and I'm not talking about just because, you know, I'm not talking about leadership-wise, because everybody knows Rick is the leader. But in stature, in physical power, Abraham posed the most threat. So you take down that threat, everybody else is going to fall into line.
No, that kind of I gotta disagree with you. That goes against you're saying. Him not.
I think we're watching two different shows.
No, but look,
I don't think we are.
Before we move on from this contentious topic, let me distill it super simply. So even if you don't agree with me and Daryl, this is the way I see it on Sasha going in. To make it super simple. Like, I'm totally down with a character, you know, going with self-sacrifice for the better good. Like, that's fine. That's noble, and I get that concept. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But here's the thing. Okay, the character Sasha should think about, okay, I'm willing to do this self-sacrifice, but as a result of my self-sacrifice, am I putting my community or my friends and family in a better situation, or am I going to make their situation worse, like my self-sacrifice in this way? And the way it looks to me before she goes in, it looks like your self-sacrifice, based on what has just happened recently, is probably going to do harm to your friends and family and community. Therefore, why commit that self-sacrifice. Now, if the math adds up and, oh, this could end up saving everybody, then, okay, well, that makes more sense. Then you put yourself into it. But this, on the onset, looks like it's only going to cause more damage for Alexandria and company, this self-sacrifice in this kind of way. That's the part that makes it feel like this is TV land, or like it doesn't make sense other than to where we want to get in the finale.
But it was divisive even among the group. Like, not everybody wanted to take Negan on. Some people did. Some people didn't. It was definitely...
That's a whole different conversation, but I'm just talking about...
Yeah, that's different.
Well, let me tell you why I think she made that decision, and why, you know, it may have been a stupid decision from the audience viewpoint, but I feel like I understand her motivations. I feel like she didn't know that there were all these other groups out there, right? She didn't know about the scavengers. She didn't know... I mean, I don't think anybody knew about Oceanside except for Tara. So she didn't know that they possibly had people who would come to their aid, because the thing that they really need
Sasha. Sasha was with them when they went to both communities.
She was? I don't remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She.
Okay. Well, yeah. In any case, they didn't have the numbers yet. Even if they had communities, they didn't have the numbers yet. She didn't know. And she felt like even if they did have numbers, they didn't have soldiers. That's for damn.
But that was the point. But Steph, don't you think that now that you know, though, you realize that she was with them when they were going to the other communities and they were trying to gather up the groups. Don't you think that even makes it even more selfish to not wait a little bit to formulate a more better plan than just going in when they weren't ready?
Well, she
It super sucks.
Not everybody went in.
I mean, if you've ever attempted to do anything, like any project or anything, and you're with a group of friends, even if it's not that like life serious, and you tell everybody, all right, here's the plan, this is what we're going to do, but we go on three, and if one of your friends goes on one for whatever reason, wow, man, that's something, especially when we've all discussed this, and this is kind of how...
That decision is not unique. I mean, Rick has done that several seasons and like in a row. Rick has done that.
No, I understand, Carol but what we are saying also is that the stakes are so much higher now compared to those other situations.
Well, Steph, let me ask you though. Name me a time when Daryl or Rick did, or Michonne did something where they knew if they acted and failed that others in the group were going to get attacked and killed right away.
Didn't Daryl go after Negan? Wasn't Daryl the one who was like, nope, I'm not breaking, even though What's-His-Face tried to break him? Like, Daryl was super defiant no matter what.
And also remember dumb. What happened to Daryl, and also dumb, and he also, and from it, he knew that Glenn has died because of it. Like, he had the same situation as... He had the same situation as Reseda, where he knows his action caused immediate death for someone else. And he even had to say, that's why he couldn't even deal with Maggie. Like, he couldn't even look at her in the face when he was alone with her.
He experienced all sorts of guilt, but that didn't stop him from making stupid decisions, and it certainly didn't stop him from being defiant, because that's who he is to the core.
Yeah, but it also made him react with the group. He worked with the group. You get what I'm saying? He usually is a loner, but he did change up how he reacted. He worked with Rick and he worked with the group to get this done. Like, he didn't just go off again and do Lone Wolf like he likes to do sometimes, because he realized what he did. Just like Reseda saw what she did, caused somebody to get killed and caused somebody to be kidnapped. She didn't know that Eugene liked it over there, but before that, she, in her mind at first, we didn't know, but he was kidnapped. All those two things happened because of her. She knew. So just like Daryl, and Daryl had to fall back until they were ready. So
I just don't know why you're knocking Sasha in particular for making a very similar decision to other people in the group. Like, that is, if that's the norm, If that's what people do, but like Carl made a stupid ass decision. Carl made a dumb ass decision to go out
and it makes sense also, to Carl's character too.
Right, but what also made me go, but when I knew
for somebody else, like,
but they, when I
because
knew Sasha,
I think me and Darryl are trying to give Sasha more credit. I think that's what's really going. That's what I think was happening. Wrong. I think you guys are giving her a pass. I have no idea why, because. I think me and Daryl are actually defending like the legacy of Sasha.
And you knew how, and I knew she was going to do something to get herself killed. You know why? Because I knew she got hired for Star Trek, right? And they followed the pattern that I knew they were going to do. They were going to find.
She put that red shirt on.
Kill her off.
I saw that red shirt, and I knew. That
so that was... if anybody else had got hired for something, I could see them doing the same thing. They would react the same.
Yeah, I don't know if you were. I don't know if you're with us last. I don't think you were, Daryl, because like I'm pretty sure that's why Heath has been on the DL throughout this whole season.
He didn't even die. He's just gone.
Well, yeah, they put him on ice. I think they assume that his show is going to get canceled, but that Star Trek's not going to get canceled. So I
well,
think
it's only a mini series. It's only a mini series. Oh, all right. I think it's not a full show.
What's a mini series?
24. Legacy. Okay. It's only a mini. They didn't consider it a full. Ongoing.
It was only 12 hours.
Right. Instead of 24.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think Monaco and I just won the argument thanks to that joke. Thank you for letting us have it.
I just think me and Daryl actually holding the candle for Sasha's character.
I do.
It was totally badass. I like loved every minute
it
of
was.
I think they
I
gave her
I can't believe that you guys were like, well, she's stupid, so the rest of it
is no. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying she's totally dumb. Oh, I'm God saying damn. That the writers wrote her in a way that was I think they wrote her out of character to get her to do something really dumb to get her off the show. Because they knew she was going to leave. That's what I'm saying.
I read some article where the writers said they absolutely did not do that. And I'm just like, you're smoking it.
You're full of it. You're
drinking your own Kool-Aid if you think that this has nothing to do. Like I read some article where the writer said this was going to be the natural progression of her character. And I was like, what?
And you know that was bullshit. I'm sorry. That was bullshit. But anyway,
wait a second. Her character had way more screen time than I thought she would when I first saw her come on the scene in the prison. Like, I thought she would die
a rough
two or three
appraisal.
Episodes later.
Well, that's your prejudice. I don't know.
What? That's not my prejudice. She just didn't seem that like that strong of a character, and she really.
Well, they didn't give her. They didn't give her much to do. Like she usually was the outsider. They wrote her as the outsider.
So the fact that she went from person at the prison to zombie in the coffin, like that is an incredible evolution of her character, way beyond what I expected.
Wait, so she was a zombie at the end.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes.
Her plan was tell her the plan. Tell her
basically
the plan.
What happened. She basically what happened. Negan was going to transport Sasha back to Alexandria and use her as, I guess, bait to say, okay, you guys need to stop your plan of trying to defeat me, or I will kill Sasha. So he was going to try to use that. Sasha knew she couldn't be taken alive and she didn't want to, so she asked Eugene, who is now a willing, he is now Negan, she asked him to slip her something so that she could kill herself in her cell. What Eugene ended up doing was he gave her a suicide pill that he had concocted for one of Negan's wives and never gave to them to use. So when Negan got ready to transport Sasha, or when he was going to Alexandria,
what is happening? Don't interrupt, Monaco.
Coffin open?
Quit it.
Okay,
sound effects.
He has a coffin on the back of a truck, and basically he's using it. He, you know, Negan likes to play games, so he's using it as a psychological, you know, mind fuck. And Sasha agrees. She's like, yeah, I can go in the coffin. I could use some sleep. The only thing I ask for is a bottle of water.
Go in the coffin.
So she goes into the coffin with the bottle of water and the pill. And it's like a 2-hour drive to Alexandria. So while she's in the coffin, she's having flashbacks of her last day with Abraham. So we're getting to see what happened between those two in the hours prior to Abraham's death. So we're getting the flashbacks, and it's basically giving us a little bit of a glimpse more into her character and into her relationship with Abraham. So they get to Alexandria. Negan's talking shit as usual. The Alexandrians had a plan to try to blow them up, and what they didn't know was one of the groups, the garbage people group that they thought were allies to them actually betrayed them. So they're about to be taken out or whatever. Negan decides to play a little joke. He's like, yeah, I got Sasha right here, And Rick's like, let us see her. So he opens up the coffin and Sasha is already dead. She's taking the pill en route because she knows that Negan is going to be the only person who's going to open that coffin up. So her plan was she dies, she turns, and when he opens up, she hopefully kills him. And ends that part. But what she ended up not killing them, but she caused enough of a distraction for the Alexandrians to take control, fight back, and with the help of the kingdom people, King Ezekiel's folks, and Carol and all of them, they were able to kind of push Negan's group and the scavenger group away. So they won a big victory at the end of the episode. And it was because of Sasha's sacrifice and the distraction that it provided. Because Negan had a hard on for Sasha. He made that abundantly clear. He was like, yeah, I like the way you came in here all badass, like you were going to kill everybody. He respected that. And his whole conversation with Sasha basically was trying to make it seem like Sasha would have a place right by his side if she fell into line and if she got Rick and the group to fall into line. So he had respect for her in those few hours that, you know, from the time she entered the compound to the time they left, he had respect for her. So again, her killing herself and doing what she did wouldn't have, I mean, it was something he did not expect. And even when she was trying to kill him, he's still talking to her corpse like, no, why'd you do this? You know? So yeah, she went out gloriously.
Oh, I might have to just watch that episode and that's it.
It was awesome. If you don't watch, anything else, watch that episode. And you still need to watch the one with the mass zombie killing on the highway. With the razor wire.
And also that sweet episode of Rick Shone developing. That needs to happen too. You need to watch that.
Yes, that was a good episode too.
The rom-com episode? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. The rom-com episode was awesome.
It was a good episode though.
It really, really was. I actually wasn't sold on Rick and Michonne's relationship really until that episode.
I think I was cleaning the hair out of my drain during that episode.
No. Definitely sold.
While it was playing in the background.
In your cold, dark heart. Whatever, we get it. Okay.
This is still the guy who says fear is better than Walking Dead. Oh, so, my God. Yeah. We can't. We'll take that.
Yeah.
I didn't say it was better. I said it's more fun. More fun.
Why? How could that not be fun? They totally killed things at a carnival. What? Yeah.
All right. Let's all just let that
Wait,
stay.
There was a carnival on Walking Dead?
Yes, that's the rom-com episode.
They went. They were looking for guns. They were out scavenging to try to find guns for this new alliance they had. And one of the places that they found was an old elementary school that had like a carnival in the backyard. So it was kind of like a field day type thing where they had one of those makeshift or traveling carnivals. And apparently that site became a military. Headquarters, because there were dead military walkers, and then of course there's people, there's kids, you know, apparently something bad happened at that carnival and there's all these walkers, but they're standing on the roof and trying to see what they can see. They see that all these dead soldiers have guns, and while they're standing there, of course it's been raining, the roof is weak, so they fall through the ceiling. and they land in a room that's full of military rations. So like freeze-dried food. So they find a lot of food. They find a lot of non-perishable items. And they light just some
candles.
Yeah, so, you know, they have
Barry White.
It's a fun episode, but they, you know, they got some stuff accomplished too. And we learned there that Michonne is like really, really scared of losing Rick, because at one point she thought that he had been killed and eaten by walkers, and you could just literally see her give up. And then when she realizes that he's still alive, I mean, literally, she and Rick together took down about 40 walkers single-handedly. Oh,
carnival!
So, it was a great episode.
Wow. It was a great episode.
And then it was also very light, because it did have a little bit of a rom-com flavor. And it just kind of lightened things up, because still we're dealing with the threat of Negan, we're dealing with people dying, we're dealing with people getting kidnapped and all this other stuff. But for once, they threw in a little humor, and it didn't feel out of place, and it actually kind of lightened up the mood for the next few episodes, as far as, you know, we knew things were going to start getting a little bit dark again, because you know they're talking about going to battle, they're talking about fighting Negan, so you know there's going to be some other deaths. But it was a nice break from all of that, especially after the first part of the season was so heavy and so depressing because of Rick and where he was at that point.
Yeah, so it felt like this long slog. Like, I was super depressed, wanting to slit my wrists. And then this episode happened. And I was like, oh, what's this? You know, at first I was kind of skeptical, because I really, really was like, I don't know about this Rick and Michonne thing. I'm still upset about Merle Schoen not working out.
Oh, my
and
God.
Then,
Merle Schoen?
Merle Schoen needed to happen.
Oh, you know what? Uh-uh. Wait, what? I'm confused.
Monica was like, no. Absolutely not.
Merle Schoen.
When Rick Schoen happened, I was like, I can see me.
How can you have not seen that building for years?
Dude, it was not something that I even cared about. But then this episode happened, and I actually cared about it.
He knocked her out and took her hostage and was planning to give her to the governor, and you shipped that? What?
That last episode of them together where they're bonding and he sacrifices himself for his brother. It was a redemption.
Does not strike me as the Stockholm syndrome type. I'm sorry.
Steph, what's your handle on LiveJournal again?
Oh, wow.
So when this episode happened, this carnival rom-com episode happened, I was like, a little bit skeptical. And then it just got underway and I'm going, well, this is a nice change, actually. I'm not wanting to kill myself. I'm starting to believe that they actually do love each other.
And then a couple of those steamy scenes, too.
Yeah, there was some, like, shirtless attention happening, and it was really good.
Lots of making out, yes.
And joking. I mean, you never really get to see Michonne joke. Like, she tried with Carl sometimes, but when she actually got to joke around with Rick, it was good. And then Rick opened up to her about certain things, and it felt good. It was a nice change in pace, and then they killed off people at the carnival so that...
Do you hear Eric sighing in the background?
Eric is snorting and sighing and cackling.
Eric, why do you hate love? I don't understand.
He does hate love.
This love, pepper and rice, as I call them.
Pepper and rice?
I don't even want to ask a follow-up question to that, because it sounds like I would regret it. Yeah. Anyway, Eric hates love, and the carnival episode was really
good. I hate carnival love.
Oh, whatever.
Anyway, it was a good episode. I'm agreeing with Hanako.
Yeah, it was a good episode. And the chili, what was it? Mac and cheese and chili together. That was...
Oh, pepper and rice.
It was one of those funny moments that you just did not expect. It was very goofy. And it was just kind of like, Oh, these people do remember how to have, you know, they do remember that they have.
They really should take the show on the road, I'm telling you.
No, it was fun. They actually get to have fun in the middle of a zombie apocalypse when Rick clearly has his whole soul broken. It was like, what? Okay, cool. And then you kind of, for me, it was kind of like seeing the old Rick start to come back. That was really good. And it also spoke to how powerful Michonne is as a character for him to be brought back by her.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway.
I agree.
Good episode. Rarg.
So maybe by the time it airs for next, what, season? In October, I'll be caught up. I'll try.
It gets much better. The first few episodes, you're going to be like, oh, why?
So, Stephanie, so all three, you're going to have to be there for me because I'm at a good place in my life, and I just feel like that's just really going to bring me down, and I'm going to want to slit my wrist, so I'm going to need sci-fi party line therapy, and we might have to, like, rediscuss.
That is fine.
So, I mean, I'm caught up on Game of Thrones, so that's something, right?
Woo!
Well, you do realize Game of Thrones ended in August, September.
I'm just saying.
So yeah, you should be caught up on that.
I mean, I'm just saying. I watched that one live. So
you know what I watched in like 2 days? All of it. Intruders.
Oh my god!
Please watch the show. It's so good. It has the girl from Stranger Things in it, and she is such a good actress. After you catch up on The Walking Dead, Intruders.
So in 3 years.
No, just catch up already. It gets better.
I'm in such a good place mentally right now.
Listen, why don't we talk about what actually happened in the finale so that Daryl and Eric can suddenly pretend like Sasha was a really good idea.
Daryl had to leave because he had to go like braid his mom's hair or something. Same with Carl. So
braid Carl's mom's hair.
Yeah. They listened to like Gladys Knight together. So I'm not really sure what's happening right now. But so yeah, Stephanie, proceed.
Hanako, please tell us what happened in the finale.
I thought we discussed all of that.
I thought we hit most of the big points.
I think you did. Like, was there something she missed that you're trying to get at, or?
Well,
we don't need a huge recap because it's a weeknight. I'm already winding up.
Okay, we don't need a huge recap, but freaking Tiger coming out of nowhere. That was awesome. In addition to that, zombie Sasha coming out and then Carl turning around and shooting. Oh, the scavengers, like, turning on everybody and Carl shooting everybody.
Yeah, but you know what? I never trusted them in the first place. When you talk like you have the vocabulary of a brain-dead two-year-old, something is wrong. The way that they talk. And then the way she approached them, she, okay, so, Kat, there's this group, there was a few episodes back where Rick and Aaron were scavenging and they found this houseboat in the middle of water and the water was surrounded, you know, it had walkers in it. So they basically braved through this water to get to this houseboat to get the food that was left on the houseboat by the person who was there before. What they didn't know was that there was someone keeping watch over the houseboat and this person followed them back to Alexandria. So in the dead of night, Gabriel was on guard duty. He heard a noise and he went back to the pantry and basically he was taken hostage. The person who followed them back to Alexandria forced Gabriel by gunpoint to load all of the food for everything in the pantry into a car and take off. So when they go looking for Gabriel the next day, they find a clue that he has written in his notebook telling them where to start looking for him, and it was basically Bolt. So in the midst of all this, they find the people who took Gabriel, and it turns out to be like this huge, huge group of people, like hundreds, literally. And these people are, they're basically scavengers. They are, their community is located in a landfill. So Rick immediately like pitches the say, you know, he does the sale pitch for them to join him to, you know, to join them to defeat Negan, and they form an alliance. It's like you know, you find us guns and we'll fight for you. So that's kind of how we got to the rom-com episode and all this other stuff, because everybody's foraging for guns. So when it comes time to fight, these groups, this group comes to Alexandria. They coordinate with Rick to, you know, they're going to fight and defeat Negan. And then what happens is, when Negan gets there and they try to blow Negan's group up, they realize their bomb is not working. It's because the scavenger group sabotaged the bomb because they had made an alternate arrangement with Negan. So you've got this group that's kind of, you know, very powerful, very forceful. So this leader, her name is Jadis. She talks in like halting syllables and incomplete sentences. And so when they get there, she says she's talking to Rick, and Rick is, you know, doing his usual speech. Yeah, we're going to win, da 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 da. And she looks at Rick and she looks at Michelle and she says, what did she say? She says something about like yours. And Michelle was like, yeah, we're together. And she looks at Michelle and she looks at Rick and says, I lay with him when over. She's basically saying, okay, you know, once this is all over, I'm a fuck your man. And both Michelle and Rick are looking at each other like, yeah, we're gonna back this up now. And they go on to their post, but it's just like her whole
did anybody see? Because it's stuff, contrived stuff like that that irritate. Because like, are there like real people like that? You know, I mean, she'd have to evolve like that over like several years. Like,
I don't know. I don't know if she has a real life affliction like Hodor or something, or like I don't know. I don't think she has a learning disability, but I think maybe she's taken on this affectation, just like how Ezekiel has his own affectation and his own way of speaking, which he kind of created for himself. I kind of think this is Jadis's own thing, thing.
But no, he's acting like Ezekiel says in that first episode we meet him.
I understand that.
Putting on an act.
I understand he's putting on an act. Yes, that I get it. But I'm saying though,
character, I think that's
no. But I think it could be a combination though, because I mean, like, I know it's Ezekiel's act, but I mean, but what I'm saying is he develops his own way of speaking, which is not like any normal natural person speaks, but it's part of his like act or persona. And I wouldn't be surprised if Jadis, in her own way, developed her own persona, like post-apocalypse, for whatever reason.
Like that. All of the scavengers talk like that.
I understand. But that happens, though, in groups. That happens, like, I'm sure you've worked at different places where you and your coworkers start getting, like, a weird lingo that only, like, works at your workplace, and if you try to speak that way when you're at home or with your other friends, they're like, what are you smoking? That happens. That really happens a lot.
So they're having their own
little jargon going on. Okay. Yeah, and it's really, really weird.
Yeah, but like I said, it's like we talked about this last time we recorded on Walking Dead. Yeah, but it's just like there's many examples, but it's like how Master Blaster talks in Beyond the Thunderdome, the short little guy who rides on the shoulders, when he speaks for them, he speaks like Jada speak. Pretty much.
Yeah, it basically seemed contrived, like they were meant to sound like if rats were humans. But, I mean, I don't know.
That's awesome.
Seriously, that's what I thought when I saw them in the landfill. Like, okay, they're rat humans or something. I don't know. That didn't bother me as much, and I really loved... you knew that they were possibly a ticking time bomb, but you know, if they could be allies, then they would probably tip the battle. Like, they would tip the battle in the group's direction. And then when they turned on them at the last minute because they got all these guns, I don't know. That just seemed poetic to me. when it that it all happened at the same time, and then Ezekiel came with his magical tiger
and with Carol.
And with Carol, yes. By the way,
here's the thing with Carol, Kat, because Carol has pretty much been sitting on the sidelines like the whole season. So like she was up until the second to the last episode of this season, she was completely oblivious about what happened in Alexandria. So
because of Daryl. Daryl, oh my God, when Daryl and Carol saw each other in the cabin, it was like, what? Why haven't you had sex yet? Oh my God.
I think my mom's calling me right now.
But Daryl didn't tell Carol what was happening, and you could just see it in his face.
Yeah.
And he wanted to say how many people died, but he knew that Carol would, like, risk her own life.
Is she still speaking? Because I can't. Decibels that high.
Oh my God! Okay, so that was amazing. And then the fact that Morgan, Mr. Peace Ambassador himself, was like, fuck this, I'm gonna go get Carol because she is my secret weapon. And he came to the cabin.
He kind of had to do that. Morgan was forced to kill this season. And then he purposefully took a life.
Yeah, he was whatever. Like, okay, I guess I killed somebody. Time to be a killing machine.
Well, also, because what happened, there's a kid in the Kingdom group, and he had to have been like late teens, early 20s maybe. So in Morgan's eyes, he's like a kid. And this guy, he's like trying to learn. He's trying to, you know, he's trying to pitch in, he's trying to help defend the kingdom, and he wants to fight against Negan and everything. So Ezekiel's people don't know about Negan. They don't know anything about Negan. They just know that there's danger out there because Ezekiel has an agreement with Negan. Hey, I will produce what you need me to produce. I just ask that you leave my people out of it. My people can stay oblivious to who you are and what you do as long as I do what you ask me to do. And Negan agreed to that. So, like, every week at a certain time, they have a drop. The kingdom, they grow vegetables. They make food. They, you know, they forage. So they have a lot to offer, and they've kept that peace. But there's one guy, you know, there's always got to be that one guy who is Ezekiel's right-hand man, and he is the person who is kind of simmering on the inside, and he wants to fight Negan. So when Rick and his group comes to the kingdom to ask them to join, Ezekiel says no, but Richard tries to do something on the side to force Ezekiel's hand. Carol has come to the kingdom, and she's left. She stays in an abandoned house, you know, a little bit away from the kingdom, and they kind of keep an eye out for her, but she wants to be left alone. So Richard, when Daryl is in the kingdom, devises this plan to have some of Negan's people kill Carol so that Ezekiel will be forced to fight. Daryl doesn't realize until later that it's Carol that Richard is trying to get killed, and this kind of causes some friction. Daryl goes to see Carol. They have a reunion, but Daryl leaves her in peace. He doesn't tell her about what's going on in Alexandria because he knows that she'll want to fight, and she's right. Made it very clear that she doesn't want that life.
Right.
So,
and they did not have sex, but that's because he never showers.
So
he never showers.
Richard, the right-hand man, comes up with another plan. When they get ready to go to their next meetup with Negan's people, he sneaks into a part of the town and creates a diversion that will delay them. And while they're delayed, he takes one of the, I think it was like a cantaloupe or something that they were supposed to bring. They were supposed to bring 12. He took one of them and hid it in the town. And as a result of this, when they go to the meetup, one of Negan's guys shoots Benjamin, the kid, and he dies. Morgan is upset because he's kind of gotten close to this kid. And when he goes back to, you know, he basically goes on a little rampage, goes back to the little town. He kills all the walkers. And when he goes to kick a bucket over, he finds the missing melon and he starts putting pieces together. So he confronts Richard about it. Richard tells him, okay, this is what I'm trying to do. Da, 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 da. I need your help. And he goes into his backstory about how he got to be there, what he lost, and all this other blah, blah, blah. So the next time they go to see Negan's people with this one melon that they didn't have, Morgan basically kills Richard. He throws him down. He chokes the life out of him. And he tells them Richard is the reason why Benjamin is dead. He's the reason why this whole little thing happened, because we did what we set out to do. He was the one who sabotaged it. So,
but irony, because that's what inspires people to fight. Irony.
So anyway, they regained the trust of Negan's people, because here you see that kind of treachery or that kind of betrayal doesn't go unpunished. Morgan has, you know, sacrificed his life of Zen to prove that point and to gain that trust, so that eventually when they decide to attack, Negan's people won't see it coming. And then after this happens, he goes to Carol and asks her if she really wants to know what happened to Alexandria. She says yes, and he tells her. And then after that, she comes back to the king. She comes to the kingdom, and she starts helping to train people to fight. And then they take a group and leave. And go to, you know, join up with the Alexandrians. And they just happen to come in right as stuff starts popping off. And they basically help save the day.
So essentially, Carol saved everybody again.
Oh, again. God.
Again.
Again. But not just that. So Negan has Rick.
I don't know how you could be Negan, happy about that.
Negan has Rick and Carl on their knees, and he's about to bash Carl's head in. He's basically like, okay, yeah, you tried to do this, so this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go ahead and kill your child, and then I'm gonna take your hand, and da 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 da. So he's saying this stuff, and you know, Rick and Carl are like, you know, Rick at this point is fed up. He was like, yeah, you can kill him in front of me, but just know this: I'm gonna kill you. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, it may not be next week, it may not be next year, but I am going to kill you. So
wait,
he's
are we talking about? He's saying the same shit again.
He's saying this
because I feel like that's the last thing I heard him say when Glenn died.
Oh, it was, but he had a little more. He had a little more fight in him this time. You know what I'm saying? Because back then he was scared and hurt. Now he's pissed. So it was a whole, like, he said the same thing, totally different attitude. So Negan actually looks at him like startled, and that's when he decides, okay, yeah, I'm about to kill your boy, and I'm about to kill him in front of you. So he goes to take Lucille, you know, he you know, gets ready to launch Lucille, and as he starts swinging, here comes King Ezekiel's tiger Shiva, and she attacks Negan. And the scream that he let out was one of the most glorious things I've ever heard, because I did not know Jeffrey Dean Morgan was a soprano. Like, it was glorious. And then, of course, everybody else is looking, and Negan's like, what? That's a fucking tiger. Where did they get a tiger? Wow. And it's just a lot of mayhem. And then, of course, you know, Rick and Carl, they grab guns. They start shooting. Everybody starts shooting. And then at some point, the scavengers leave, because the big thing with the scavenger group, the garbage people group, their whole thing is we take, we don't bother. So they basically take it if it's easy for them. But as far as engaging with people as like fighting to get what they want,
that's my dating policy, by the way.
Oh, you know what? I'm not even going to go there.
You are the literal worst. Why?
Yeah, but so that's their policy. So once they see things are starting to come out of their favor, they're like, oh no, this is what we signed up. Time to go. So they turn tail and they run. So now it's just Negan and his people there, and Negan's people are dropping like flies. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Save some.
You're actually gonna watch it now?
Shut up, Stephanie.
But she said she was gonna watch it the last podcast.
Yeah, I know that but y'all gotta give me a chance. I've been working 12-hour days for like 2.5 weeks straight, so you know, give a brother a break.
What had happened was,
yeah, okay, I know, right?
I think your mic just went into boy mode just then.
Okay.
So to sum it up, I need you to get on your beat. I need you to be about your business and start and watch this show. I need you to get caught up.
Hell yeah, June 6th, Fear the Walking Dead.
Eric, stop talking.
This ain't even about that show. So
just wait till they dovetail. Just wait. It's gonna be something special.
You keep saying dovetail. That, and it doesn't.
Well, not yet. Okay, we got some ways to go.
Whatever.
Now I will say this in other news. The new season for Fear hasn't started yet, and I believe they've already been renewed.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So that's interesting. You know, and I'm not down in the show. The show is good in its own sense. But you know, it's good in its own sense, but it's just gotta grow on you.
And when Chris died, it was epic.
That was glorious.
Okay, yeah, we're not gonna turn this into fear. We're not gonna turn this into a fear session. Okay, I'm a cut.
Don't be scared.
Kat, we need you to get on that.
Okay, I mean, you know, it is what it is. I don't know. So, can that be our show? Is this? Are we done? Because you guys did a really good job. Because I think I only spoke a few words, and you guys just really got in there and talked. And I am so proud of you.
Aww.
I mean, yeah, you convinced me. I stayed through the first few episodes, even though I really wanted to write a sad poem in my journal. But I warned you of that.
But see, that's what's killing me. That's what's preventing me, because it's like, oh, I need to watch that. It's such a chore. Let me watch this other thing that I don't, you know, that's doesn't have any to do with anything, and I'm gonna watch the hell out of that just to avoid watching Walking Dead. And that's how I finish. That's how I'm cut up with Fargo. So I watched all of that. And I have not watched.
Well, but that was worth it, apparently. I need to watch it, too.
Well, Fargo's a better show than The Walking Dead, but that's, like, a whole different conversation. Yeah,
that makes me sad, because The Walking Dead used to be super good. I think that it is...
Well, no, I think its legacy is intact as a whole, Walking Dead. The only thing I wanted to say to close out season 7 of Walking Dead was just... I think, overall, season 7 was better than season 6, and... Just looking at the finales, season 7 was immensely a gajillion times better than the finale of season 6.
This is true.
That said, though, season 7, while it was overall it was good, it was fine. But certainly not my favorite season of the show thus far. But I don't expect that either, because that's kind of crazy.
It's seven seasons in, yeah.
But it was fine. It was fine. And better than last year. And I can't ask for much more than that. Because if it was worse than last year, that would have been something else.
I can't believe that I almost stopped watching the show entirely.
You mean like Kat did?
That's interesting that you say that, Stephanie. Because I really, at this point, even though you guys have said everything, if it were not for you three people, plus Daryl... I would not go back to it ever, because it.
But you
just,
said that with Game of Thrones too, and you see,
and
it was worth going back.
Only because what's his face died, and I wanted to tease you about.
No, but see, there's okay. I think there's a difference though. I mean, about Game of Thrones, The Walking Dead versus other shows that some people eventually quit, in that, because there's some other shows that are quit worthy or have been for sure. But a lot of times it's because those shows are really, you know, long-running ones who really don't know where to go and are just, like, reaching for straws, meaning, like, for future plots or try to keep interesting. And those are the ones that you end up quitting, and you should quit when they get to season 6 or 7 or whatever it is. But I think what makes Game of Thrones and Walking Dead different is that in both cases, whether you wanted to jump off at season 4 or whatever it was with either show, both series or whatever already have... their game plan, they already have their map. They're not trying to make it up as they go along, meaning where they're trying to get next year or 3 years down the road. They already have the roadmap. So I think that you can have, or I personally can have more faith in Game of Thrones or Walking Dead when I think, like, where is this going? Or are they losing me? Because it's already set. They're not creating on the fly. If they were creating on the fly, then you just don't know what's going to happen. Then you're really playing some Russian roulette if you, like, hang in with a show. But so that's why I was never too worried with either franchise.
I just feel like there have been so many changes along the years, you know, through the years in, like, the showrunners and, I don't know, not necessarily the actors, but the writers and the producers. It's sometimes it's been really obvious when we've had a change in direction, even though they've kept with most of the material. I don't know. It feels to me like a different show, and it doesn't feel like my favorite show anymore. But it's even still really
though,
good.
Oh, okay. So that's interesting that you say that. Even though,
I just feel like it used to be a lot better, but it's still
better than
a lot of the shows.
Well, I kind of feel the same as what Stephanie just said, but I think it's because, like, 3-4 years ago, there was a lot less premium options, like, for other shows on other channels. No, there were good shows, for sure.
But I not think, like there is now.
I think there's even more now when Walking Dead is in Season 7 than there was when Walking Dead was Season 3. And same thing goes for Game of Thrones, too. Because there were times where both those shows were, like, number one or number two of my favorite shows at the time. And, like, right now, this second, they're, like, I don't even know if they're number five, number six, just because there's all this other amazing stuff out there.
There's all this other content that isn't really as kind of beholden to a network audience, or even some of the cable networks.
But even though neither one is, like, the shiny new thing on the shelf, even though that's true, they still do get some credit, though, like some tenure, for sure, I think. I mean, they've already built up some credit, so that even if they have some off years, like, they're still trusted in my book.
Yeah, I definitely show some deference to them, and I think that they've influenced so many shows after them, for sure.
It's nuts that Sasha's character was on screen for 5 years. She was introduced in 2012 on the show. That's nuts.
Wow.
In season 3 in 2012 was when her character debuted. That's completely nuts. I didn't realize all that time has passed.
I didn't either. And you know what? That is a testament to what they did with her character, though, because I seriously thought she was going to die. I thought she would die way before Gabriel. And look where we are, you know. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, I still say that if it were not for you guys in this podcast, that I would have stopped Walking Dead and Game of Thrones, and nothing would have brought me back. But it's because, you know, I trust you guys, and, you know, eventually it might take me longer to catch up with some things that, you know, y'all won't entirely steer me wrong, except for Eric with Fear of the Walking Dead.
I never said it's like the greatest show on the planet. I always keep it in perspective, whatever I say about that.
I think you may have said that once or twice.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Never, ever. You guys see, know. That's why.
Well,
you
if
guys
you
don't
didn't
know.
Say that, you sure had the sentiment of it. So I don't know.
That's how you heard it. That's how you took it in. But that is not what I was saying. I've never said that.
I don't know. I think other people heard it that way too. But I don't know. Whatever, Eric. So I mean, it's just really interesting to. But I'm glad Stephanie made the distinction that she still enjoys it, but is not her favorite show. That says something to me. I like all of the people and the drama and stuff, but I miss the spooky horror aspect to it. How it used to feel just like it was creepy and it was zombies. I mean, I know you can't keep that up for 7 odd years or whatever without it getting tired, but I do miss
that. they had some good scenes like that during the season.
I don't really
not the gross factor, mainly the creepy, mysterious factor. Because, like, we're still just dealing with people and people's drama.
There's a couple times where they had some inspirational moments like that through this season. But, as stated on previous episode, like, some of those innovative, like creepy zombie moments in season 7, I felt like they were inspired by Fear of the Walking Dead.
All right, we get it.
Because we said this too, that there's stuff that you didn't see, Kat, on Fear, where, like, you know, whether you think the story's going good or not, they would, on Fear, they kept coming up with, like, novel ways to try to scare you and, like, putting zombies in situations you hadn't seen yet after 7 or whatever, however many years. And this is part right why I think Fear is good too, by the way, because see, Fear started doing this innovative stuff. So then when I saw some of these things happen on the main show in season 7, I was wondering, are they trying to up their game now on The Walking Dead? Because Fear has started to do some of that. Because that's how some of the things felt to me. Like, oh, it's been a while since we've had something surprising with zombies on The Walking Dead. And I was wondering if it was because,
like, do we have a whale zombie? Like, that was innovative. Do we have, like, the bloated zombie, those were memorable.
Yeah, Kat, there has been more of that. There's been more of that on Fear and the main show, for sure. Well. Your absence.
Okay, well,
not, I mean, every week.
I'm just saying, it used to just feel different, and now to me, it's a soap opera, and there's, like, too much people's drama, and it's, I don't know, I don't like it. People and their drama bores me. They bore me. I like to see something innovative and interesting. So, I don't know. I will watch it eventually. And I do thank you guys
for... You keep saying that, but I know you're just waiting for the whole season to drop on Netflix. I know that's what you're really stalling.
It doesn't come on Netflix, does it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Okay, whatever. I'll watch it. I mean,
they always do it like 2 weeks or so before the new season is when they drop.
Yeah, but I think... Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll do that.
Oh, really, maybe. All right, Sasha, whatever.
That's nice. That's nice. So, guys, I really, really enjoyed hearing you talk about it, and I did not mind any of the spoilers because I just don't care like that anymore, which is sad, I know. But if you talk about spoilers in The Expanse, I'll whoop you. No, I'm kidding.
You will. You will actually whoop us.
But we'll talk about The Expanse later on a different show.
2020.
Yeah, shut up. That's our show. Give us some feedback. We have a website, scifipartyline.com. You can reach us on Twitter. We have a Facebook group that we type in sometimes. We have a Facebook page that you can like. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. And we will see you at the party next time.
Last Action Hero soundtrack?
Maybe.
I miss you guys so much.
Okay. I know, right?
Okay. So. We're gonna do it.
Let's do it.
Welcome to another episode of God Damn It, Stephanie. You sniffled.
You did
Cut that motherfucking sniffles out this motherfucking show.
She giggled.
Yeah, and she happened to do it right when you paused to start.
Ah, damn it.
Okay, oh, and you know everything she does just makes me crack up. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm already giggly because I'm drinking the rosé. Okay.
Woo-hoo. Oh, shit.
Okay. We're going to try this again with no sniggles.
Okay.
End of line.